Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm an inveterate news hound, and I follow the news, and I follow the news about the news. And in the latter category, there's the story, the continuing story, of the new head of CBS News, a woman named Barry Weiss, whose previous experience was editing a sort of center-right newsletter called the Free Press, not the free newspaper that used to circulate in L.A. That was on paper. And she sold it for $150 million for a newsletter to Paramount, which owns CBS, and it also installed her as head of CBS News, at which place there is a great deal of consternation about her that, of course, most famously, she spiked, so far, a story on 60 Minutes. Still no word as to whether that story will ever surface. But she's mainly concerned these days with trying to resuscitate the CBS Evening News, the third-rated network newscast in a world where everybody's watching fewer network newscasts. So there's a new anchor, Tony DeCoppola. Yes, I know how to pronounce his name. And the initial idea was to have him travel around the country on his first week to, talk to the people, find out what they think, and then put that on his news. Of course, that was short-circuited by some developments in this country, most particularly in Minneapolis. And so she's still coming up with new ideas. But I have a suggestion. You know, always trying to be helpful. If you're trying to get more people to watch the CBS Evening News, you might want to take a look or listen to what's going on at the most successful evening newscast, the one on ABC. Last year, I presented a edited version of that show, which counted 21 repetitions of the word tonight. Here's the progress they've made since then.
Tonight, the breaking news coming in the U.S. tonight, first tonight, American troops tonight, Iran tonight, and what the president is now saying tonight in the U.S. tonight. Tonight, the chilling new video. Tonight, West Wing actor Timothy Busfield. Tonight, we're also tracking a powerful storm. Tonight, actor Kiefer Sutherland. And there's news coming in tonight.
This is World News Tonight.
We begin tonight and tonight. Some of the new images tonight leading us off from the region again tonight.
Tonight and late today. Late today.
David. In panel from the region again tonight. Ian, thank you. Here's our chief investigative correspondent tonight.
Tonight, tens of thousands.
David. Aaron Katursky on this tonight. Here's Mary Bruce.
Tonight. David.
Mary Bruce at the White House tonight is there again tonight.
Tonight. David.
Faith Abube in Minneapolis tonight. Faith, thank you. Tonight to other news tonight.
Tonight
we have learned. Here's Pierre Thomas.
Tonight.
Thank you, Pierre. Next tonight, a chocolate recall tonight. We've learned tonight. Tonight, Lee Goldberg back with us tonight. Tonight, when we come back tonight. Tonight, when we come back here tonight. Finally tonight. Tonight in Colorado Springs, right here tonight. Tonight, you made us smile tonight. Good night.
ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
Not counting the announcer and the correspondents, that's 45 tonights by David Muir, up from 21 last year. So Barry Weiss, if you want CBS News to get more viewers, have Tony DeCoppola just say tonight more often. You're welcome. Hello, welcome to the show.
gee, what you see?
What you see?
It's what you get.
It's what you get.
Look at me. What you see?
What you see?
It's what you get.
It's what you get.
I mean, what you see?
What you see?
It's what you get, my baby.
From Santa Monica, the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this right here, this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of this smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Well, there's a grocery store chain in New York City. Yeah, they sell groceries there. Called Wegmans. They've begun collecting biometric data from anyone who enters the supermarkets. This according to new signage posted at the chain's Manhattan and Brooklyn locations earlier this month. Anyone entering the store could have data on their face, eyes, and voices collected and stored by the supermarket chain. The information is used to, quote, protect the safety and security of our patrons and employees. According to the signage, this is the expansion of a 2024 pilot. The stewardesses were not available for comment. This is from Gothamist. The chain had initially said that scanning system was only for a small group of employees and promised to delete any biometric data it collected from shoppers during the pilot rollout. The new notice doesn't make any such assurances. Wegmans representatives did not reply to questions about how the data would be stored, why it changed its policy, or if it would share the data with law enforcement or commercial data brokers, maybe. Legislation aiming to block businesses from using such systems was introduced in the New York City Council 3 years ago after the head of Madison Square Garden used such stuff to identify and boot two attorneys who worked for law firms with active litigation against his company. But the bill has languished. Other supermarket chains have already put into place biometric collection systems, like Fairway. Yes, it's called Fairway because it's collecting data. Wegmans and other businesses that collect biometric data are required to post signs announcing the practice because of a city law. The agency in charge of implementing the law has no enforcement mechanism. That's useful. As a matter of fact, that's how you know they really care about the law. Says a privacy advocate, quote, it's really chilling that immigrant New Yorkers going into Wegmans and other grocery stores have to worry about their highly sensitive biometric data potentially getting into the hands of ICE, unquote. Well, ICE isn't going to do anything with it. It's a smart, 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 smart world.
Do you trust the steel or fear the spark? Can you feel the pulse in the dark? AI is great. It's a new debate. No time to wait. Let's automate. AI is great. No twist of fate. Plug me in. Let's innovate. Algorithms write the tune we sing. Every ending's just a new beginning.
Or it's a new ending. This week, Bandcamp, which distributes independent music, announced it will no longer permit AI-generated music on its platform. You can hear why. Quote, music and audio that is generated wholly or in substantial part by AI is not permitted on Bandcamp, the company wrote in a post. The new policy also prohibits any use of AI tools to impersonate other artists or styles. The policy draws a line that some in the music community have debated. Where does tool use end and full automation begin? AI models are not artists in themselves. They lack personhood. Really? But I disagree. And creative intent. But people do use AI tools to make music. You just heard some. And the spectrum runs from using AI for minor assistance, like cleaning up audio, suggesting chord progressions. Yeah, go 1-4 instead of 1-5, babe. They don't say babe. To typing a prompt and letting a model generate an entire track. Bandcamp's policy targets that latter end of the spectrum, leaving room for human artists to incorporate AI tools into a larger creative process. We like those. The announcement emphasized the platform's desire to protect its community of human artists. Somebody else has got to protect the AI. Meanwhile, from extremetech.com, this Thursday, Google announced new Gemini 3-powered AI features for Gmail. First among them is the AI Overviews tool, which summarizes the highlights from lengthy emails threads, because you can't do that. Users can also ask Gemini questions about their inbox. Do you like it? You think it makes me look fat? When it comes to composing new emails, 3 writing tools are now available at varying price points. Help Me Write, available to all users, helps users create or improve their emails from prompts. Also free to everyone is Suggested Replies, which offers relevant responses that match the user's writing style. I don't think so. Let's have coffee later. And Proofread, available to Google AI Pro and Ultra subscribers, checks grammar, tone, and style before sending. Google now prioritizes emails based on frequent contacts and relationships inferred from content. That means Gemini is scanning your messages. Everything's being scanned. But Google clarifies the Gmail messages are not used to train its, models. It's large language models. Users can disable all AI features in settings by unchecking the smart features option. Why would you want to do that? They're smart. This will also disable Google's inbox categorization and spell check benefits. So you don't want to do that, really. You'd rather be scanned, wouldn't you? The chief constable of one of Britain's largest police forces has admitted that Microsoft's Copilot AI assistant made a mistake in a soccer intelligence report. The report, which led to Israeli football fans being banned from a match last year, included a non-existent match between West Ham and Maccabi Tel Aviv. The Copilot hallucinated the game, and West Midlands police included the error in its intelligence report without fact-checking it. But that would take time, and AI... On Friday afternoon, I became aware that the erroneous result concerning the West Ham versus Maccabi Tel Aviv match arose as a result of a use of Microsoft Copilot, says the chief constable in a letter to the Home Affairs Committee of the Parliament, I guess, this week. He previously denied last month that the police in West Midlands had used AI to prepare the report, blaming social media scraping for the error. Earlier this month, he also initially blamed the mistake on a Google search result. He's run out of people to blame, and there's AI just waiting. From The Guardian, Google has removed some of its artificial intelligence health summaries after a Guardian investigation found people were being put at risk of harm by false and misleading information. Oh, that again. The company has said its AI Overviews, which use generative AI to provide snapshots of essential information about a topic or question, are helpful and reliable. But some of the summaries, which appear at the top of search results, served up inaccurate health information, putting users at risk of harm. In one case that experts described as dangerous and alarming, Google provided bogus information about crucial liver function tests that could leave people with serious liver disease wrongly thinking they are healthy. Typing, "What is the normal range for liver blood tests?" served up masses of numbers, little context, and no accounting for nationality, sex, ethnicity, or age of patients, according to The Guardian. What Google's AI overview said was normal may vary drastically from what was actually considered normal, according to experts. I trust the experts. I know it's a mistake. The summaries could lead to seriously ill patients wrongly thinking they had a normal test result and not bothering to attend follow-up healthcare meetings. After the investigation by the newspaper, the company has removed AI overviews for the search terms, what is the normal range for liver blood tests and what is the normal range for liver function tests. Well, that'll do her. A Google spokesperson said, quote, we do not comment on individual removals within search. In cases where AI overviews miss some context, we work to make broad improvements, and we also take action under our policies where appropriate. Unquote. I'll take care of that. Vanessa Hebditch, the Director of Communications and Policy at the British Liver Trust, yes, it's a liver health charity, said, quote, this is excellent news. We're pleased to see the removal of the Google AI overviews in these instances. However, if the question is asked in a different way, a potentially misleading AI overview may still be given. We remain concerned other AI-produced health information can be inaccurate and confusing. Unquote. The Guardian found that typing slight variations of the original queries into Google, such as LFT reference range or LFT test reference range, prompted the overviews again. That was a big worry, says Hebditch. A liver function test, or LFT, is a collection of different blood tests. Understanding the results and what to do next is complex. It involves a lot more than comparing a set of numbers. But the AI overviews present a list of tests in bold, making it very easy for readers to miss that these numbers might not even be the right ones for their tests. In addition, the AI overviews fail to warn that someone can get normal results for these tests when they have serious liver disease and need further medical care. This false reassurance could be very harmful. Our bigger concern, she continues, with all this is that it is nitpicking a single search result, and Google could just shut off the AI overviews for that, but it's not tackling the biggest issue of AI overviews for health, unquote. But nitpicking is fun, isn't it? I picked Sue Farrington, the chair of the Patient Information Forum, which promotes evidence-based health information to patients, the public, and healthcare professionals, welcomed the removal of the summaries. She still has concerns. Quote, there are still too many examples out there of Google AI overviews giving people inaccurate health information. Unquote. The overviews still pop up for other examples The Guardian originally highlighted to Google. They include summaries of information about cancer and mental health that experts described as, quote, completely wrong, unquote, and, quote, really dangerous, unquote. Asked why these AI overviews had not also been removed, Google said they linked to well-known and reputable sources and informed people when it was important to seek out expert advice. Our internal team of clinicians removed what's been shared with us and found that in many instances, the information was not inaccurate and supported by high-quality websites, unquote. Well, many instances is enough, isn't it? Victor Tangaman, a senior editor at the technology website Futurism, said the results of The Guardian's investigation showed Google had work to do to ensure that its AI tool isn't dispensing dangerous health information. Google said AI overviews only show up on queries where it has high confidence in the quality of the responses. The company constantly measures and reviews the quality of its summaries across many different categories of information. In an article for Search Engine Journal, the senior writer wrote, AI overviews appear above ranked results when the topic is health, errors carry more weight, unquote. Here's a Le Show tip. If you want to use Google search and you don't want AI overviews, just at the end of your search query, put a space and then minus AI. Minus AI is great. And now?
Looks like Musk Love.
The mother of one of Elon Musk's children is suing his AI company, XAI. She says its Grok chatbot allowed users to generate sexually exploitive deepfake images of her that have caused her humiliation and emotional distress. Well, maybe that was what he... Ashley St. Clair, who describes herself as a writer and political strategist, she's 27. Wow, that's a lot younger than he... alleges in a lawsuit this week that XAI images have included a photo of her fully dressed at age 14 that was then altered to show her in a bikini, as well as others showing her as an adult in sexualized positions and wearing a bikini with swastikas. St. Clair is Jewish. Grok is on Musk's social media platform X. Lawyers for XAI didn't immediately return email seeking comment on Wednesday following global backlash over sexualized images of women and children. Next announced that Grok would no longer be able to edit photos to portray real people in revealing clothing in places where that's illegal. Of course, you can still use Grok, not inside X, and it will still create those images. You can go to my YouTube channel to see the results. Asked about the lawsuit and its allegations, XAI's response was, quote, legacy media lies, unquote. St. Clair said she reported the deepfakes to X after they began appearing last year and asked that they be removed. She said the platform first replied the images did not violate its policies. Then it promised to not allow images of her to be used or altered without her consent, she said. She said the social media platform and then retaliated against her by removing her premium X subscription and verification checkmark, not allowing her to make money from her account, which has 1 million followers, and continuing to allow degrading false images of her. She lost her checkmark, and less than 6 months after it opened, Elon Musk's Tesla Diner in, I think it's West Hollywood here in Southern California, has the feel of a ghost town. Again, a report from The Guardian. Gone is the Optimus robot serving popcorn. Gone are the carnivore diet-inspired epic bacon strips. Gone are the hours-long 100-person lines wrapped around the block. Even the restaurant's all-star chef Eric Greenspan is gone. The Hollywood Burger and Fries shop looks like a shell of the bustling eatery it was when it opened just 6 months ago, a little less. In December, the parking lot for Tesla car charging was at best half full, reports The Guardian. Inside what the company describes as a retro-futuristic diner, a handful of people trickled in, ordering burgers and hot dogs or asking for merch. The upstairs deck, known as the SkyPad, was vacant except for a pair of employees who were stringing holiday lights. Tom?
Holiday lights.
Exactly right. More staff was busy at work, buffing fingerprints off the chrome walls and taking out the trash than there were customers. The novelty of eating at a restaurant owned by the world's richest person seems to have worn off. When the Tesla Diner opened in summer, it brought in droves of Musk fans and curious onlookers. But then came the on-site anti-Musk protests, noise complaints from neighbors and customers who said menu items often sold out or when they were available were served soggy and cold. Well, that's the way they'd be on Mars. Greenspan, a graduate of the Cordon Bleu, who helped launch the My Mr. Beast burger chain, told the LA Times last month he was leaving the Tesla Diner to focus on opening a deli called Mish. He didn't say why he had left, didn't return a request for comment, nor did Tesla. The chef and other California restaurateurs who praised the diner faced pushback for supporting Musk, a polarizing figure, says The Guardian. Yep. Musk had been talking about the concept of a 50s-style Tesla diner in L.A. since at least 2018 as part of an idea to have amenities for waiting drivers connected to the supercharger stations. He touted plans for it in 2023 as Grease meets the Jetsons with supercharging, and claimed the diner would launch later in 2023. When it finally did open in the summer of 2025, he called it one of the coolest spots in L.A. from his post in Austin, Texas, and vowed that if the concept went well, Tesla would open diners in major cities around the world. So far, the total is one. This is a pretty special diner if you're in the L.A. area. It's worth visiting, Musk said in Tesla's second quarter earnings call, just 2 days after the diner opened. He continued, it's a shining beacon of hope in an otherwise bleak urban landscape. Unquote. I guess he loves L.A. The diner received immense media coverage upon opening, but poor reviews from restaurant critics. They described the food as forgettable. What was the... And the concept is little more than a corporate branding exercise. Like, that's a bad thing. Its menu consisted of fast food staples like a $13.50 smash burger. That's called in the place the Tesla Giga Burger, and an $8 milkshake, along with the $12 maple glazed epic bacon strips and a small sized $8 Wagyu beef chili cup. A display case with Tesla merchandise featured a levitating Cybertruck. Wouldn't you like to see that one crash? That would be $175, and a black hoodie emblazoned with a graphic of the diner. That would only set you back $95. Come on. Musk, as you know, usually posts dozens of times a day on X. He has only made scant mentions of the diner on the platform. Didn't address it in Tesla's third quarter earnings call, October. The diner also appears to have pivoted to hosting some events, including a holiday bash on the SkyPad, unlimited Tesla food and beverages, plus live DJ for $75 a ticket. Some of their customer complaints have waned. The pared-down menu is fully stocked. The food came out hot and fast on the Friday into December, visited by the Guardian writer. One enthusiastic Yelp reviewer said she recently visited the Tesla diner on a Saturday night, posting a photo of her meal, saying the burger was solid, the fries were perfectly crispy, best part, she said. It wasn't crowded at all. And of course, Elon Musk still has his eye on the skies, talking about new plans, new improved plans for the United States to send a spacecraft to the moon, saying, as he normally does, it's the first step towards Mars, which allows me to play this song again.
Well, come on, let's go for a trip. That'll be a real gas. Yeah, we'll be weightless for years. And maybe give the country some class. It'll be a great ride. And you can't beat the
what would it mean? We need a man. Star Trek and Pat.
Direct from the Oval Office, new home of the brilliantly donated Peace Prize Medal, this is history's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Furniture. Give your home that gold-adjacent look. The brain-damaged media never get tired of attacking Trump for the brilliant moves your president is making in something called the real world. Here's what these mental midgets don't seem to be able to get through their thickest split pea soup of the day skulls. In a dangerous world, more dangerous than Manhattan at midnight, it's important for the greatest power the world has ever known to also be the most dangerous. We can't let Venezuela continue to poison our people with drugs they don't even make or ship. We can't let Greenland continue to be more Danish than a $2 pastry. And as my distinguished Secretary of State and National Security Advisor Marco Rubio says, we can't let Cuba continue, period. See, he's big, Marco, now. As for Iran, I have it on very good authority they've stopped killing protesters, leaving that important work to our brave members of ICE. Speaking of ICE, it's thin ice, the mayor of Minneapolis and his fatso Governor Walz are on. I've already threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act to deal with the horrible situation in that disgusting and filthy town. But now stronger actions than just invoking are in order. Beginning right after this podcast, I'm reducing the number of lakes in Minnesota from 10,000 to several hundred at most. Minneapolis will no longer have a sister city. St. Paul will now be a sister city to Miami, a much more civilized location. The so-called 3M company, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, will now be only 2M. And the Minneapolis Timberwolves basketball team will, as of immediately, start playing its home games in Kansas City, which is not only not a sanctuary city, as far as I know, it doesn't have any kind of sanctuary at all. This is what a true leader does, and I'm grateful now that I have a real Nobel medal, that the great people at FIFA are rewarding my long service on The Apprentice TV series with a FIFA Emmy. Till next time, stay loyal.
Truth Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Swimwear, the best way to look wet. So long.
Você é meu caminho, meu vinho, meu vício. Desde o início estava você, meu bálsamo benigno, meu signo, meu guru, porto seguro onde eu vou ter meu mar.
from Southern California. This is Le Show, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Apropos of burgers, the owners of a McDonald's in Ronan, Montana, apologized this week after a viral video appeared to show an employee refusing service to the Browning High School wrestling team. The 14-second video showed a man who appears to be an employee saying, "Browning School is not allowed. We're not allowed to serve you guys." A student can be heard mumbling, "I guess they don't like Indians here." Browning is located on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in northwestern Montana. Ronan is home to nearly 2,000 people. It's on the reservation. The majority of its residents are white. Tara Tatsi said her son, who is on the wrestling team, took the video and sent it to her. She then shared it on Facebook. The video sparked widespread outrage. Some Blackfeet community members speculated the team was turned away for racist reasons. Others suggested boycotting McDonald's. Browning Public School Superintendent Rebecca Rappold said the boys' wrestling team was denied service. "This incident is being fully investigated, and appropriate steps will be taken, including legal steps, if necessary." She applauded the team and coaches for responding with dignity. "Browning Public Schools will not stand down and walk away from this," she said. She didn't clarify what the investigation or who would be doing it. Responding to a request for comment, Chris and Melissa Crawshaw, who own the McDonald's franchise, said the incident was the result of unfortunate misunderstanding, unlike the fortunate kind. Quote, "We sincerely apologize for the frustration this has caused," they said in a written statement. "We've addressed the situation with our team and personally reached out to Browning High School to make things right. Let me be clear. Everyone is welcome in our restaurant. We're honored to serve the Ronan community and look forward to welcoming all students at any time," unquote. Dateline Washington, D.C., a massive outage for Verizon's mobile service this week was resolved only after more than 10 hours, according to the company. Quote, "The outage has been resolved. If customers are still having an issue, we encourage them to restart their devices to reconnect to the network. For those affected, we will provide account credits. Details will be shared directly with customers. We sincerely apologize for the disruption." Verizon said, "We let many of our customers down, and for that, we are truly sorry. They expect more from us," unquote. Not sure that last line is true, but Ruben Brekelmans, the Minister of Defense of Holland, has offered a personal apology in Hawija for the airstrike last June on that Iraqi city. The strike, which targeted an Islamic State bomb-making facility, killed dozens of people. Quote, "On behalf of the Dutch government, I personally apologized in Hawija for the civilian casualties that occurred in the war against ISIS. Visiting the site of so much suffering today has left a profound impression on me, both as a minister and as a person. I extend my heartfelt sympathy to the families who lost loved ones," unquote. In March of last year, Defense Department in the Netherlands located video recordings from the morning after the Hawija strike, almost a decade after the operation. The footage reveals severe damage to both the industrial area and nearby residential neighborhoods. Minister Brekelmans described the late discovery of the videos as, quote, "highly regrettable." Dateline Zurich. Nestle's CEO has issued a video apology for the recall of some batches of the company's infant nutrition products in dozens of countries. The Swiss consumer goods giant is stepping up its damage limitation measures, according to Reuters. The recall could threaten Nestle's strong position in China and other large markets for infant formula, thrusting the CEO, Philip Navratil, into crisis management mode within a few months of being appointed to revitalize the multinational after a period of management turmoil, like you have. At least 53 countries across Europe, the Americas, Asia, and Africa have issued health warnings over infant formulas recalled by Nestle because of possible contamination with cereulide, a toxin that can cause nausea and vomiting. Navratil, who is seeking to revive growth through a portfolio review, apologized for the worry and disruption the recall caused for parents, caregivers, and other customers. He said there have been no confirmed cases of illness linked to the recalled batches of formula, which were potentially contaminated by a quality issue in an ingredient called arachidonic acid oil. Infants love that. The mayor of Yokohama, Japan, has apologized for insulting colleagues after an official publicly accused him of making offensive remarks. At a news conference, the Japanese city's human resource chief, Jun Kubota, alleged that Mayor Takehara Yamanaka had used terms such as idiot and human scum to disparage staff. Sounds like someone who runs this country. It's highly unusual in Japan for a serving city official to openly accuse a sitting mayor and demand an apology. Yamanaka initially denied the allegations and denounced the alligators. But later admitted to some of them. I want to frankly apologize for placing a psychological burden on the personnel director, he said. The mayor was also accused of calling officials useless, silly, and low spec, as well as making comments about colleagues' appearance and likening them to animals. No apology to the animals. And President Trump's... The felon-in-chief's nominee for ambassador to Iceland has apologized after a joke he made about the country becoming the U.S.'s 52nd state drew backlash among rising tensions over Trump's threats to annex Greenland. Quote, there was nothing serious about that, said Billy Long. Yep. A former Missouri Republican congressman who briefly served as commissioner of the IRS under Trump. Last year? Oh, yeah. I was with some people who I hadn't met for 3 years, and they were kidding around about Jeff Landry being governor of Greenland. Landry is the governor of Louisiana and was appointed envoy to Greenland by Trump. He has not yet proposed renaming the island Greenlandry. And back to the comment by Billy Long. They started joking about me, and if anyone took offense to it, then I apologized. Long faced criticism and calls for his nomination to be rejected from Icelanders after Politico reported that he had joked Iceland would become the 52nd state and he would be made governor. Petition on calling the Iceland foreign minister to reject Long's nomination currently has nearly 4,000 signatures. And finally, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is investigating an incident where a deputy was served a Starbucks coffee cup featuring a hand-drawn image of a pig. Last weekend, a deputy at the Starbucks coffee shop in Norwalk was served a drink with a pig hand-drawn on the cup. After discovering the drawing, the deputy immediately reported the situation to the store manager, who said the incident would be investigated. The police department said the image is a common derogatory symbol used to demean law enforcement officers. Extremely offensive, inappropriate, and unacceptable, said the sheriff's department. Starbucks has since apologized, stating the drawing was intended to resemble the John Pork internet meme and was not meant to be given to a customer. For those of you like me who don't know that world, John Pork is a viral virtual influencer depicted as a 3D rendered humanoid pig wearing human clothing, first appearing on Instagram in 2018. The character is known for his uncanny and surreal appearance. He became a massive TikTok sensation through the John Pork is Calling meme, where creators used fake iPhone call screens to make it appear as though John Pork was contacting them. I guess nobody's sorry about that yet. The apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And, yes, cold all over the place, except here. But in crypto land, it is a crypto winner. Former New York City Mayor Eric Adams is facing scrutiny from crypto traders after a meme coin he promoted appeared to suffer a sharp liquidity withdrawal shortly after it was launched. That was quick, according to CoinDesk. During his time as mayor, Adams was a frequent promoter of cryptocurrency, reiterating his desire to make New York the crypto capital of the world, taking his first three paychecks in Bitcoin, leading to crypto advocates calling Adams the Bitcoin mayor for his support of the space. He unveiled the NYC token at a Times Square press event this week, pitching it as a crypto project tied to civic causes. The token zoomed to a $580 million market capitalization shortly after going live. That indicated massive demand from retail traders and likely automated bots that caught the launch and quickly latched on. But within hours, data showed large liquidity movements that raised questions about how the token was structured and managed. Analytics shared by Bubble Maps and other researchers showed that a wallet linked to the token's deployer removed roughly $2.5 million in liquidity near the market's peak. About $1.5 million was later added back after the token's price had already fallen more than 60%. The move triggered accusations of a possible rug pull. That's a term used when liquidity is pulled from a token, leaving traders unable to exit positions without losing their shirts. Adams, for his part, has denied the accusation of rug pulling. He said the token would fund, said it would fund efforts to combat anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism through an unnamed nonprofit. He didn't disclose the identities of co-founders or provide details on how the funds would be managed. During his interview with Fox's Maria Bartiromo, Adams offered up bizarre and vague answers to questions about the token's use case. No, you don't carry that in your pocket. Truebit's True token cratered nearly 100% this week after an exploit drained about 8,500 Ether, that's Ethereum, another currency, worth roughly $26 million from the protocol's reserves, according to researchers. It's also from CoinDesk. Truebit is an Ethereum-based verification and computation project. It said it was aware of a security incident involving one or more malicious actors, adding that it is in contact with law enforcement. What should be calling the screen actors? Oh, and is taking steps to address the situation. Blockchain analysts peg the theft at, as I say, 8,500 Ether. A researcher attributed the attack to a flaw in an older smart contract deployed around 5 years ago. I believe the use of the word smart in that context is ironic. And not just the Republicans, but the Democrats. This from the Institute for New Economic Thinking website. Not just the Republicans, but the Democrats is now awash in crypto money. Industry donations run very high to the National Committee and Congressional Democratic leaders. Your Charles Schumer, your Hakeem Jeffries, or the House Minority Whip, your Catherine Clark, as well as some individual legislators. Depending on the election cycle, these sums sometimes run in the millions. It's good running, not tens or even hundreds of thousands. The author's check of the Internal Revenue Service roster of 527 funds, which are not counted in the Election Commission tabulations, also reveals crypto cash flowing abundantly to many state Democratic Party organizations. Those aren't reported to the Federal Election Commission, but to the IRS, where they're ignored by the press. It's clear that these massive flows will be a silent backdrop to the debates now raging in the party over its positions in the 2026 midterms and beyond. Ooh, it's a crypto winner. And now finally, a little news of microplastics. High-profile studies reporting the presence of microplastics throughout the human body have been thrown into doubt by scientists who say the discoveries are probably the result of contamination, and false positives. One chemist called the concerns a bombshell. Studies claiming to have revealed micro and nanoplastics in the brain, testes, placentas, arteries, and elsewhere were reported by media across the world. There's no doubt that plastic pollution of the natural world is ubiquitous, present in the food and drink we consume and the air we breathe, but the health damage potentially caused by microplastics and the chemicals they contain is unclear, and an explosion of research has taken off in this area, hence the bomb. And microplastics from everyday sources such as water bottles can directly damage the pancreas, according to a new study. Previous studies have linked microplastics to multiple adverse health conditions. But the new study confirms that tiny particles of polyethylene terephthalate, or PET, the key component of plastic bottles, have toxic effects on the pancreas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, on these radio stations and on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Hawaii, and Algiers Point desks. Thanks to Pam Halstead and Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program and your chance to hear, read, watch a bunch of interesting stuff, all at harryshearer.com or on my YouTube channel, where you can see some interesting photos produced by Grok of Elon Musk. And I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer, and I'm on Substack too. Comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.